I'm sorry. I still feel kind of ugh about the whole thing. It felt more like a Houston loss and a gift than a Patriots win. But they took advantage. But I think they showed a lot of holes on that team today and a lot of things that still need to be cleaned up.
I'd say that's fair, Jim. I mean, it's hard to argue against it. I mean, yes, they got the victory, and that's the most important thing. And we've seen this before where the Patriots have had these, you know, run injuries and just sort of survive in advance. And this was one of those games. And you're right. It wasn't pretty in any phase of the game. I mean, special teams were, I would say, decent in this game outside of the missed extra point. The defense was just awful in the first half. I'm not sure I've seen them worse. I mean, to give up three scoring drives on three drives and long ones, or at least yardage-wise, in the first half, I mean, that's just awful. I mean, their own offense, the Patriots' own offense, only had 10 minutes of possession in the first half. They completely flipped in the second half, but, you know, that was distressing to start the game. Especially with the offense, you know, they open up scoring on the first drive. They look like they're going to do it again. The Harris fumble, I know you just replayed it. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it just because, you know, they got the win, and it's sort of, I view it as it is what it is with officiating. I didn't see enough to overturn that. The call on the field, the NFL disagrees. I don't know if they had some sort of hidden angle or whatever. But, yeah, overall, not good, and it just continues that, you know, that there's a lot they have to clean up. And each week, I think people are starting to grow more and more impatient. We've talked about it many times. This is the way it goes with a team like this with so many changes. But I can understand the growing frustration with the fan base with this team. And they need to very soon. I mean, next week will be their sixth game. They're going to need to kick it in gear sometime very soon.
Hey, Greg, the consistency with the coaching staff within the red zone, I think, was what stood out to me. Was it the game plan because of the offensive line in the inexperience there, or do they just don't trust anyone right now in the red zone?
Yeah, Joe, I think it's hard to say definitively, you know, because you know, I know there's a lot of concern about that, and look, I am not going to defend at all the third down possession or the red zone possession towards the end of the third quarter.
This is the one. It was third and 12.
Yes, where they go 21 yards to get there, a 4-yard run by Stevenson, a 20-yard pass to Jones. They're in the red zone. They're at the 16, and they call three screen passes in a row. I mean, those aren't just checkdowns. Those are designed play calls. I don't think I've ever seen that before. I'm not going to defend it. I'm not going to defend Josh McDaniels on those, but I'll just say overall to Joe's point, from watching this team over the years and seeing themselves in some positions where they're like, you know, we don't feel good about the protection. To me, it seemed like Josh McDaniels spent most of this time just avoiding getting Mac Jones back there with a lot of time. It looked like they really wanted to ramp up the amount of time shorten the amount of time he had the ball in his hands to get rid of it. I know in hindsight, everyone will say, well, one sack and only four hits. Yeah, but you have to also consider that Josh McDaniels managed the game that way. Those results happened because that's the way Josh McDaniels set things up and the way he called the game. And you can't really have it both ways. And it's got to be one or the other. And I think Josh McDaniels probably had some concerns about the offensive line even when all the starters were in there. I mean, last week against Tampa, they're not – every pass play, they're basically giving some sort of help to the tackles. And now you have two backup tackles in along with the guys in the interior. And to me, it looked like it was a very managed game from Josh McDaniels' standpoint. So it's hard for me to say they don't trust Mac Jones. Certainly on that possession, it looked like it, and I hated it, but I think it was more about the offensive line than anything else.
But what did you think of the performance of the makeshift offensive line? Because I didn't think that was that big of a problem today.
I thought it was fine. I had not taken a close look at it, and I was not like zeroing in on any guys. I mean, I know I heard Joe earlier talking up Kajust, and it seemed like he did a good job. He had a really strong summer. He did a good job in the opportunities he got in practice in the preseason games. He definitely earned his spot on this team. But for the the coach is basically to make him inactive every week, or at least I think he was inactive, you know, tells you what they think, and they know these players better. I think the offensive line did fine, but I think Josh McDaniels put them in position to execute at a higher level than they normally would have.
You see the secondary play, and you know Jawan Williams getting burned on that touchdown to start the third quarter. Do you now maybe second guess what happened with Stephon Gilmore, and just in terms of a depth standpoint?
I second guessed it at the time. I hated the deal. I hated getting rid of him because I was a guy who was like, okay, look, the Patriots have gotten off to a slow start. Anybody who's a realist understood this was going to happen and was going to take until about the midway part of the season for parts to really gel. And one of the things I was looking forward to was like, all right, if they can keep it together, you know, by strings, by Band-Aids, whatever, if they can just stay in the race and stay above water until the halfway point when things gel, and then you get Stephon Gilmore back, suddenly, all of a sudden, you know, now J.C. Jackson's the number two corner. You have Jonathan Jones as your number three slot. Jalen Mills maybe, you know, helps as maybe in the Daron Harmon sort of deep safety role, allows Devin McCourty to do different things. So I was excited for that. And then for them to deal him for what they did, I understand they probably had to do it, that they must have had some inclination that Stephon Gilmore was not going to play for this team this season. But that's just brutal. And yeah, I mean, this shows you how thin it was. I mean, for them to make the deal and people to say, well, look what they did against Tom Brady. I mean, come on. Give me a break. I mean, we all know how thin this secondary is, and Jalen Mills being out and then playing like this, some guy named Chris Moore I've never heard of before, looks like Jerry Rice out there. I mean, it's not good.
All right, more coming up with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal as the Patriots eke out a win against the Houston Texans on the road today, 25-22. If you want to get on with Greg, 617-779-0985 as well. Back after this here on the Safety Insurance, 98.5 of Sports of Patriots Radio Network.
Instant Oil Change, the best defender in the game against engine wear, provides 15-minute drive-through oil changes and touchless service for busy people. Go to getanoilchange.com to save 15% on your entire invoice and your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Print out the coupon or pull it up on your mobile device. That's getanoilchange.com.
When our twins started driving, we all got Safety Insurance's Drive with Safety app. The app provides data on driving habits like speeding and hard braking, so parents can have data-driven conversations with their kids about safe driving practices. The data showed our twins are doing great. It also showed I have some room for improvement. Ask an independent agent about Safety Insurance's telematics program. We'll help you manage life's storms with information.
Hey, football fans, it's Bob Soucy, the voice of New England football. If you want to know how my voice stays ready for every call, look no further than my cup of Bigelow tea right next to me in the booth. No matter the game conditions, Bigelow tea always tastes great, and that's why it's the first play I call in my game day routine. New England fans refuse to settle for anything less than the best, and when it comes to my tea, settling is not an option. So join me, New England, and grab a mug full of Bigelow and tea proudly.
Hey, New Englanders, did you know that Aaron's, the official snow thrower of the New England Patriots, also makes Gravely lawnmowers? If you've started thinking about a new lawnmower to improve your outdoor look, then go with Aaron's or Gravely for your next riding mower. Power equipment availability is tough, but Aaron's, still a family-owned business, still in Wisconsin, is building mowers 7 days a week. That's Aaron's and Gravely, the official lawnmowers of the New England Patriots. Find your local dealer at Gravely.com.
Tailgate season is upon us, New England, and that means you're going to want the ultimate vehicle for all the game day action. Well, look no further than the all-wheel drive Honda Pilot. Rugged, dependable, and practically endless cargo room to load up all the supplies you'll need to last you from the preseason to the playoffs, all the way to that glorious duck boat parade in February. Gear up for game day with the all-wheel drive Honda Pilot at your local New England Honda dealers. Around here, we Honda.
What's your ultimate game day experience? A tricked out man cave? Deluxe tailgate? Then enter the 5-Hour Energy Football Sweepstakes for a chance to win $10,000. and make your ultimate game day experience a reality. To enter, buy any 5-Hour Energy product and upload the receipt. It's that easy. The 5-Hour Energy Football Sweepstakes. Enter today.
No purchase necessary. Must be 18 and a legal resident of the U.S. Ends December 10th, 2021. For official rules on how to enter without purchase, visit 5hesport.com. Void where prohibited.
Now you can do your grocery shopping without ever getting out of your car with Shaw's Drive Up and Go. Just shop online at Shaw's or use the convenient Shaw's delivery and pickup app, and they'll do the shopping and bagging for you. Then just head to the store, and they'll bring your order right to your car. You'll enjoy the same in-store pricing. Plus, you'll earn and redeem your Shaw's For You grocery rewards. Place your first online order and get $20 off when you spend $75 or more. Limitations and restrictions apply. Visit Shaw's.com for details.
Hey, it's Zoe, and like me, you may have a loved one who uses a continuous glucose monitor to manage their diabetes. Well, I have great news. In addition to being able to sell your extra test strips and lancets, my friends at teststripswithaz.com now accept unused CGM supplies. If you want to sell, just start your order, and they'll provide you with a prepaid shipping label, free home pickup, and a quick payment. Don't forget, they also carry all major brands of test strips and lancets at the most affordable prices for you to buy directly from their online store. Visit teststripswithaz.com.
Matthew Slater here. Have you been trying to quit drugs or alcohol on your own, but it's too overwhelming and you give up? It only takes 3 to 5 days to detox and hit the reset button. Call AdCare at 1-800-ALCOHOL or visit adcare.com.
Installing a mailbox, planting a tree, or other yard work? Don't dig yourself into trouble. Call DigSafe at 811 to prevent damage to buried utility lines. It's smart, it's free, and it's the law. Call DigSafe at 811 or go to digsafe.com.
Everything Boston Sports, the Sports Hub.
Now Nick Folk will pace off his steps backward from the 11 with Cardona over the football between the hash marks. Gostkowski beat Houston with a late field goal in 13. Now it's Folk, the snap and the placement. Swing of the right leg, the kick, airborne to the uprights is good. And the Patriots have the lead with 15 seconds to go.
Nick Folk, twice from 52, and the game winner in the final seconds as the Patriots beat the Houston Texans today, coming back to win 25-22. And this season, as part of their Apex Cares program, Apex Entertainment donating $100 to the New England Center for Children for every converted field goal, every point, every dollar helps. For more information, go to apexentertainment.com. All right, back here in the Shaw's Patriots postgame show, Jim Murray, Joe Murray, and Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, bostonsportsjournal.com. What do you make of the play of Mac Jones overall today? Did he make some steps outside of the coaching staff not trusting him, seemingly, in the red zone?
I thought he played pretty solid. I mean, I the interception was terrible. His stats would probably look better if Jacoby Myers didn't have that just god-awful drop before halftime. I mean, that was almost as bad as a turnover there. I mean, he was wide open. I know the incredible James Lofton thought that Jacoby Myers was then going to leap the defender and score a touchdown from 30 right. yards out. But, I'll give him, maybe another 10 yards or so. But that was brutal. I thought he did a good job. He managed. It was a managed game. I'm hopeful that the Patriots offense, with the protection and execution and things like that, gets to the point where, when they do take a deep shot, it's more than just, play action and max protection and things like that. I just think the issues have limited Mac Jones. I think he's capable of a lot more. But he's got to cut down a little bit on some of the mistakes. The interception was tough. He threw the ball into a couple of places where you didn't really like it. He could have had another like three interceptions. But it's hard enough being a rookie quarterback in this league, Jim, without having to deal with all the changes around you. So he's getting sort of a baptism by fire this season, and hopefully he's better for it over the course of the season.
And just sticking with the rookie quarterback, what did you think of Davis Mills today?
I really liked him. I mean, I really liked him coming out too, and I know the Patriots did. And the only thing, I think the thing that knocked him down a peg, because he was more of a day two quarterback. I'm not exactly sure where he was drafted. You probably know.
Third round. Stanford didn't play much. Yep.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, he was a guy that most NFL teams were like, dude, what are you doing coming out? Like, stay in school for another year. He could, especially considering what the QB class next year looks like, since like Spencer Rattler looks terrible. And, you know, I think you're now talking about maybe some mid-major quarterbacks being like the top of the class. I mean, if he would have stayed in school and had a nice season,
he'd be a top pick.
He was certainly a first rounder, if not the first quarterback taken. And a lot of people question that. And then also he had a lot of injury problems, I think, or he has to this point. So those things combined, and he did show some athletic. He was more of an athlete today than I recall watching his college film. But I thought he was really good, and you could see why the Patriots really liked him, that he was sort of, you know, plan B if somebody took Mac Jones or there was some player there in the middle of the first round that they couldn't pass up at 15, and maybe they passed on Mac Jones and couldn't get him again and later on in the first round. But yeah, I was impressed. I thought he did a really nice job, and you could tell that they use him to do a lot of things at the line of scrimmage, and really smart guy, good player. He was good.
Well, especially on that first drive too, where it's 18 plays, 79 yards. They take, you know, 10 and change off the game clock. They're picking up third down after third down. They're picking up a fourth down. So I thought Mills was good, but outside of Matt Judon, Greg, where's the pass rush on this team? Like, what, do you see something up front?
It's non-existent.
Yeah, why?
Was that game plan, though? Like, today it was obvious they did not rush the passer.
Yeah, they did not rush the passer. I think, you know, they knew they had a pocket quarterback on their hands. I think, you know, going into the game, you probably think, all right, well, we're not getting by Laremy Tunsil. And then he goes out of the game. So then if you do want to start to apply some pressure, all of a sudden you need to change things. I think that they went into this game saying, like, you know, we're gonna rush the minimum. We're gonna drop back into coverage, and hopefully he makes some mistakes. And they thought maybe they might get home against the interior with less and sort of zone blitzes and things like that. None of it worked. And, you know, Judon was the only guy making plays in the front seven. It seemed like even, you know, his sacks, I would say, you know, a couple of them were coverage variety where, you know, Mills wasn't. He didn't throw the ball immediately. It wasn't like Judon was killing people off the snap, but he made good plays. And I think that, you know, not getting the pass rush home, the thing you worry about is it exposes your secondary. And one thing I wanted to bring up is I thought, you know, my guy Devin McCourty had a really rough game. I mean, a couple of the big plays, he was really late and over pursued. And yeah, that was not good either.
Well, how about one that sticks out to me was, I think it was a slant to Cooks that was on a big third down. It's just like he let him have it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, the slants are becoming a humongous problem on this team. And I know James Lofton explained it during the game, and I thought, well, where, you know, you have your choices. You know, you either take away the inside, even though you're really banking on the cornerback, you know, reading through film review, reading the quarterback, breaking on the ball, almost sort of the Malcolm Butler play in the Super Bowl, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And the Patriots just, their cornerbacks are not being aggressive enough. Jalen Mills, I can understand. J.C. Jackson, I don't really get it. But yeah, if you take away the inside, now they're going to go over the top. Well, to me, that's a lot harder throw than a slant is on 10 yards. So I would like to see the Patriots be more aggressive. You know, man up, take away the inside. If they want to go over the top, you know, go ahead. But they got to find a way to defend those plays better because everybody's doing it against them.
And just Damian Harris, another fumble around the goal line. What do you think of the Wildcat? Is that something new now? Why are we taking the ball out of Mac Jones' hands around the goal line?
Yeah, I think they're trying to get different looks. They're trying to go with, especially in that situation, I think they're, I think it's part of the equation, Joe, where it's like, all right, look, we haven't had great ball security so far, and you know, let's try to run as safely as possible, and you know, look, I don't love it, and I'm sure the Patriots don't really want to do it, but for whatever reason, they feel like that's the type of thing they have to do right now.
617-779-0985, the phone number you want to get on with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show, like Matt in Needham. You're next up. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how are you? I just wanted to talk about, you know, the quarterback play again. I mean, I think Bedard just said it, just in terms of, you know, I mean, I think Mac Jones is really good and is definitely an improvement, but I think the best quarterback out there was Davis Mills. I never even heard of this kid. Are we overhyping Mac Jones? I mean, the reality of it is I've seen nothing spectacular about his play or anything like that to say that he is the man or he's the franchise. So just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, he might not be like giving you wild plays that you maybe see from the Joe Burrows and Justin Herberts of the world, but he is steady, you know, and that's – and look, and I was still impressed with how he played last week in that moment in a big spotlight game with the return of Brady. Like, Joe and I have been saying it for a while, Greg, at least on this particular post-game show, he is the least of their problems.
It really is. Was that Chris Gasper's cousin that he had like call in and ask that question? I understand. I don't know who's overhyping Mac Jones. I mean, Mac Jones has been good so far. You know, the receivers haven't been great. The protection certainly hasn't been great. His starting offensive line, he's got, I think I had him getting hit 43 times in his first four games. That's absurd. It's ludicrous for what the Patriots had coming back in their starting offensive line. I don't care if you have Trent Brown or not. Like, to allow your rookie quarterback to get hit 43 times when you're not even, like, really opening up all that much. Now, the Dolphins game, the opener was a little bit different. They had to go to some shotgun spread, and Mac diagnosed it. But, look, I don't think anybody's saying that Mac Jones should be, you know, rookie of the year at this point. I think he's done a good job managing the game so far. He's made some plays. He's brought the team back in just about every game. I mean, even the Saints game, they got it to the point where if they get a stop from the defense, they could win the game. You know, brought him back against the Dolphins, had a chance, couldn't get a stop. Brought him back against the Bucks, had a chance. Belichick didn't go for it. You know, I think he's done a really nice job, but I don't think anybody's overhyping Mac Jones. He's done fine, but like the rest of the team, they're all going to have to get a lot better. And I think when he gets better play and better execution around him, I think he'll look even better. But we'll see. Nobody knows right now.
More coming up with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal and more thoughts on the Patriots win 25-22 over the Houston Texans today. You want to get on 617-779-0985. First, though, Joe Murray going to get caught up with the latest in the headlines. But first, let's pause for station identification on the Safety Insurance 98.5, the Sports of Patriots Radio Network.
Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub. A Beasley Media Group station. Sports Hub headlines.
Patriots, a comeback 25-22 win over the Texans. Today, Mac Jones threw a touchdown pass to Hunter Henry. He was 22 of 30 for 231 yards through the air. Did throw an interception. Nick Folk, four field goals, including the go-ahead with 15 seconds left in the game. Patriots now 2-3 on the season. They host Dallas next week. Cowboys, they have a 17-10 lead at halftime over the Giants. Saquon Barkley, Daniel Jones, both out for the remainder of the game for New York. Right now, Bears have a 14-3 lead on the Raiders. Browns 27, Chargers 19, and the Cardinals have a 10-0 lead over the 49ers. Earlier today, it was the Falcons 27-20 over the Jets. Packers 25-22 over the Bengals. Vikings got a 19-17 win over the Lions. Steelers 27, Broncos 19. Tom Brady had five touchdown passes in the 45-17 win over the Dolphins. Saints 33, Washington 22. Eagles got a 21-18 win over Carolina. And the Titans 37, Jaguars 19. Tonight, it is a rematch of the AFC Championship between the Bills and the Chiefs. And we have Game 3 of the ALDS over at Fenway Park right now. Red Sox have a 4-2 lead over the Rays. Nathan Eovaldi, 8 strikeouts so far through 5 innings. Headlines brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. They want to help prepare your car for fall travel. You never have to leave your car and no appointment is ever needed. Visit getanoilchange.com for a coupon to save on your next oil change. I'm Joe Murray. Your next update, 30 minutes.
Music of the game brought to you by Live Nation. Don't miss Evanescence and Hailstorm. Saturday, December 18th at the DCU Center in Worcester. Get tickets at livenation.com. Oh, yes, Evanescence, bring me to life. Now, that's a hits hit. Shaw's Patriots postgame show, Jim Murray, Joe Murray, and we still have Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal, bostonsportsjournal.com with us. Jamie Collins back with the Patriots for the third go-around. Did he make any impact in terms of run defense today, or is he just what Jamie Collins has kind of always been?
You know, I didn't even notice him until the sack, so I don't know. I wasn't watching him that carefully. But give the defense credit overall. I mean, they finally buckled up. I think they got four straight stops in the second half, and meanwhile, you know, the offense was putting up four straight points. I'm just checking the possession. So, yeah, after the touchdown to open the second half, they went punt, punt, missed field goal, punt, fumble. Well, the fumble was the desperation play. I mean, meanwhile, the Patriots offense went field goal, touchdown, field goal. So, you know, they definitely woke up in the second half. But, you know, I do think the Texans got conservative in the second half. I think that they tried to play closer to the vest, and that was just a mistake. I thought the mentality that they came out with to start the game was really good in what you need to do against the Patriots and be aggressive. I thought the fake punt thing was stupid, and you know, people should give Lawrence Guy a little bit of credit because he just didn't punt it into that guy's back on accident. It was because Lawrence Guy drove him back about 3 or 4 yards, and that sort of changed the complexion of the game. But yeah, you know, the defense, you know, buckled down, and that was good to see, and hopefully they're going to need to do a lot more of that next week against the Cowboys. And by the way, it's not the Jets, right? Right,
yeah, right. Yeah,
hear that a few times.
I so desperately wanted them to be 3-3 that I was like, you got the Jets next. So, yeah, whoops.
I want to get into McCarthy in a little bit here, but when it comes to coaching, though, is it fair to say that just the first year head coach just made a bad decision today, and the Patriots just have a better coaching staff and just capitalized on that bad decision?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I was actually like, you know, when they first started, you know, he started out going to his regular punt drop, and then he came up, and I was like, oh, they're going for it. They're going to, you know, I was like, this is cool. All right. You know, these guys, this continues on with what they did before. And then they must've gotten a certain look and they backed out of it. And I didn't even mind the rugby kick call. It's just
9 yards poor back, execution. Smart.
I mean, he needed to realize where the hole was. I mean, basically when you do a rugby punt like that, you know, being on a short drop, you're looking for, I mean, even scooting outside the pocket and sort of kicking it on the run. If that guy can't do that, then that's a stupid call. But, you know, that was a mistake, but still there was plenty of time left and, you know, the Patriots only got 3 points out of that. You know, I thought Cully got a bit tight in the second half. And let's be honest. The Patriots had to win this game. So they had to sort of bring out any tricks and come. I think we all knew that they were going to come back and win that game. It wasn't easy. It was way too close. I thought they would blow doors a bit more in the second half. But, you know, I think it went down the way we expected it to happen.
Oh, after that punt, that whole situation, I was like, the Patriots just won this game.
And the field goal, too.
Yeah. Right. A 4th-and-4, deciding to try a career-long 56-yarder with a kicker who had already missed 2 extra points and kicked it out of bounds after their first score. That kid's a mess. That Kyemy Fairbairn. It was apparently rampant throughout the league today. A lot of missed kicks today. It was like something in the atmosphere or something.
Yeah, the Packers and
and the Bengals.
Bengals, tons of kicks.
Mason Crosby again.
On the trick play thing, let's go to Matt in Braintree. You're next here in the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Hey, Matt.
Well, first, I was going to say if Houston had a field goal kicker, they would have won by like 15. But with the trick plays, it's just so depressing watching this team because they just suck. It's like in the old days, they would run these trick plays as like a giggle thing, like just for giggles. But now, like, they actually need to run these plays, like the Brandon Bolden direct snap. I know what they were trying to do there, obviously, to get the clock down, but it's just depressing. It just sucks. Thanks.
Thanks, Matt. Well, I know that one Mike Felger is always quick to say that if you're a team that has to run the Wildcat, you stink. Do you agree with that, or is that just too harsh of an assessment?
Yeah, I think for one game, I mean, we'll see if this continues. I mean, but for a game where I think they were just trying to muddle through and just get the victory, I think it was fine. I mean, I thought that the Patriots managed the game really well at the end. I thought the Texans just should have declined the penalty and let the touchdown stand. I mean, at that point, you could see where it was going. And if once they burned the timeout on like an 8-yard, you know, run, and then the Patriots picked up the first down, the game was essentially over at that point. And Cully should have let them score to give themselves a chance. And they had a perfect opportunity when the Patriots ran it in. They had the illegal motion. And Cully should have declined the penalty, let it stand, and then give yourself a chance. I don't think they would have had any timeouts left at that point, but at least the Texans would have had a chance. The game was over at that point.
I just want to ask you one more question. I know we got into the Stephon Gilmore thing, and yesterday they made a roster move when it came to Trent Brown. This was your guy, the MVP, right? Played one series, yep. And why did they wait so long to put him on injured reserve?
I think he was close to playing against the Bucs, and then whatever reason, I don't know when, but he had some sort of setback. Obviously, he was getting closer, and he was practicing, and then suddenly he wasn't on the practice field this week. I mean, he had a setback, so I think that's why. I mean, I think they fully intended him. I thought they had they thought he had a chance against the Bucs. It didn't happen, and so that's my read.
I know he's great. Listen, we've seen him, right? He's great. But is this now something to worry about here? I mean, obviously his weight is there, and some things happened last year in Vegas. Like, is he now a guy they can't depend on anymore? And is that a strike for them? Like, trying to lean on a guy that's had success here and kind of had these things happen to him a year ago?
There's no question that to this point it's been a bust. But there's a lot of season left, and if they still hang above water and – you know, he's able to come back in 3 weeks and play Pro Bowl level right tackle for the rest of the season and help them to the playoffs, then it's all good. But there's no question right now, yeah, it's a concern. I mean, this is the same injury that he had in Vegas last year when, you know, talking to some people out there, they thought he could play at some point, and he decided not to. And I didn't think that, and especially the way that he practiced and played in training camp, and even Bill Belichick raved about, you know, how he came back and, you know, his first time around, everybody knew the deal. You know, they knew he was going to play great. He's trying to get a contract. He's never gotten a big contract before. He went out to Vegas. He got it. And then, you know, once a guy gets paid, you know, this was part of what we brought up when they re-signed him. You know, is he still as hungry as he was before he got paid? And I'm not saying that this is an indication that he's not, because Bill Belichick raved about his leadership and things like that when he came back the second time. But and I still think he's going to come back and play. I just think this has been a little bit of bad luck. But no question, it's a concern right now.
Joe in the car next here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. What's up, Joe?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my call, and good thing they won today. Listen, question marks are the game plan and – do you think they should have squibbed that last kickoff? Number two, Matt Jones is not the problem with this team. They don't have a quarterback problem. Number three, I think that they got to give him some protection. Too many times he's had to thread the needle, and when they happen to get wide open, they drop the ball. And Mills had all the time in the world to throw, so he should have looked good.
Thanks, Joe.
Squib, I don't know, man. What about you, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always in favor of, you know, I don't know if they were very afraid of the Texans returner, and that would have been Andre Roberts. Yeah, I mean, Andre Roberts is really good, and so they were probably afraid. They were probably afraid of a trick play, but normally, Joe, in that situation with that amount of time, you want the clock to run, so you kick the ball in bounds and you have them do something. You should have some sort of safe kickoff coverage there. I think that was an indication of how afraid they were of Andre Roberts just making a play. And as far as his, I lost track of his various other points, but he had a lot of good ones.
Other line, you know, if they could have. Oh, the guys aren't catching the ball. And I brought this up to Jim earlier. Is there a guy on the team that can make a catch and not fall right down? Like, I know Bourne had one earlier, but, like,
it feels like
I mentioned Brandon Lloyd.
Yeah.
Catch the ball and fall right down. Like, they don't have a guy that can catch and run.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think if the Patriots hang around and it looks like they have a chance, I think if I was GM of the team, I would be on the lookout for a slot receiver that can help this team. I just think, look, I like Jakobi Meyers. I want him out there, but, and I don't know how the pieces would fit, but they need a guy who can get open very quickly against any type of coverage and that Mac Jones knows he can go to. I mean, I think today was obvious that he has a lot of comfort in Hunter Henry, and that's great, but against faster teams on defense, they're going to need quicker answers, and I just don't think they have enough right now.
Have you noticed anything in watching film of prior games that maybe Nelson Agholor is getting doubled? Is he not getting open? Because I do feel like when he does get it, like, he's pretty sure-handed. Looks like the Nelson Agholor of, well, good Nelson Agholor and Agholor of last year with Vegas. I just feel like they're not utilizing him enough.
I just think he's a byproduct of not everything's working in the passing game, from, you know, the protections to the backs picking up blitzes and you know, and even Mac Jones. I mean, look, I think it's very obvious that the Patriots have a plan to bring Mac Jones along very slowly. And I think that, you know, not everybody's going to agree with that, but that's the direction they've gone with. And I think that, you know, Agholor is a deeper threat. I don't think he's been doubled. I don't see why he would be doubled. I just think he's a byproduct of the passing offense isn't that great, isn't executing great at this point. And so he's not getting as much action as I think he will in the second half of the season.
All right, more coming up with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. One more segment to go as the Patriots eke out a win on the road against the Houston Texans, 25-22. The final. You want to join us, 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Back after this here on the Safety Insurance, 98.5 The Sports Hub, Patriots Radio Network.
Hey, if you want to have more fun at work, Apex Entertainment is hiring all positions, including management, restaurant, attractions, and more. Apex is 100,000 square feet of pure fun for all ages with bowling, go-karts, and arcade. Be big, be bold, be Apex. Apply today at apexentertainment.com.
The Peterson School has expanded course offerings. The new Basic Controls course provides electricians, HVAC, and facility managers with the knowledge to efficiently manage pneumatic and electrical controls. Register for fall classes today at petersonschool.com.
Matthew Slater here. Have you been trying to quit drugs or alcohol on your own, but it's too overwhelming and you give up? It only takes 3 to 5 days to detox and hit the reset button. Call AdCare at 1-800-ALCOHOL or visit adcare.com.
If you've got a passion for pumpkin, you've got to get to Dunkin' and pick these up. Our new pumpkin cream cold brew. Smooth, bold cold brew topped with velvety pumpkin cream cold foam. And our delicious pumpkin spice signature latte. Rich espresso topped with whipped cream, caramel drizzle, and cinnamon sugar. And our perfectly pumpkin donuts, munchkin treats, pumpkin muffins, and more. That's how we pumpkin at Dunkin'. Pick your pumpkin at Dunkin', like our new pumpkin cream cold brew, pumpkin spice signature latte, and our perfectly pumpkin treats. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Exclusions apply.
When it's time to grow, you'll know.
Finally found a quiet space. Now I can get something done. Daddy's busy, girls. He's on a work call.
But, Dad, I have the playhouse from noon until 1 for a tea party.
And my dolls and I can't reschedule our nap time today either.
Okay. Daddy's legs were falling asleep anyway.
You know, Dad, if we had a bigger house, you could have a grown-up office.
And we could have our playhouse back.
You two are so smart.
We take after Mom.
Dreams getting bigger? Think jumbo. Visit ClintonSavings.com to apply for a 30-year fixed mortgage with an annual percentage rate as low as 2.937, plus a $500 credit towards your closing costs.
Rate as of 6/28/21 and subject to change without notice. Available on owner-occupied properties only. Maximum loan-to-value of 90%. Loan subject to credit approval. Actual interest rate and fees available based on credit history. Other rates and terms available. Offer may be withdrawn at any time. Other restrictions may apply. Credit will be applied to offset closing costs. Credit cannot be combined with any other offers. Credit available for new CSB mortgage customers only. Call 888-744-4272 for details about credit costs and terms. NMLS number 422081. Member FDIC, DIF, and an equal housing lender.
It's Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. That means you can get up to a $25 gift card after mail-in rebate with the purchase of your Superstart battery. Return power, performance, and reliability to your car, truck, motorcycle, and more with Superstart batteries, only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When you buy a Reed's Ferry shed, you're buying direct from the builder. Those sheds at the big home improvement store, they don't build them. They're the middleman. And to make room for the middleman markup, they have to take stuff out of the shed. Important stuff, like lumber. Buy factory direct at Reed's Ferry, and you'll own a better shed. Call Reed's Ferry Sheds this week and schedule your installation.
Call 888-8888.
85 Sheds.
Need a shed? If it says Reed's Ferry, you got a good one.
At Shaw's, they're perfecting the art of fresh. Their produce pros work with trusted, top-quality growers so your hand-picked fruits and vegetables are harvested at the peak of flavor and handled with care from farm to you. Come by and pick up fresh-cut, colorful produce prepared daily in their store and bursting with flavor. They'll meet or beat national standards, so you get the cream of the crop. Shop in-store or online at Shaw's.com today for delivery or for convenient curbside pickup.
Hi, I'm Eric, and like me, you too can enjoy a great career with Spectrum. I started as a field tech, got my certifications, moved up to supervisor, and now I've been a manager for over 2 years. We're hiring across New England, including New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine, with a starting pay of $18 an hour with no experience needed. Apply at jobs.spectrum.com.
If you own a home, do yourself a favor. Call Devlin Solar to eliminate your electrical bill and provide backup power through a blackout. To see if your home qualifies for solar, call 800-818-5641. That's 800-818-5641 or visit devlinsolar.com. Devlin Solar, the most trusted solar company in New England.
The only place to hear the game, the Sports Hub.
Third down and six from the 13. Shotgun snap to Jones with a four-man rush. Throws it to the end zone. Open, yeah. Henry, sliding grab. Touchdown, Patriots. Just inside the far sideline.
Take a picture of that. Show that in the meetings. We need more of this.
Yeah, more of that. Hunter Henry with a touchdown on the Patriots 25-22 win. Comeback win over the Houston Texans today. Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Jim Murray, Joe Murray, you, if you want to join us, 617-779-0985. And our final segment with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. So it felt like maybe, Greg, this was maybe the coming out party for Hunter Henry, which is good. And, you know, that's something to be encouraged by going forward. I still feel like there's a lot to be decided with Jonnu Smith. And there was one catch he ultimately made. I don't know if you remember this in the first half. I think it was towards the end of the second quarter. That looked like it was about to trickle off his fingers and maybe go the other way like it was did in New Orleans against New Orleans a couple of weeks ago. But he ended up hanging on to it. He just feels clumsy to me.
Yeah, he's definitely fighting it at this point. And it seems like he's lost some confidence. And I think I don't want to say the coaches have lost confidence in him because I think I was reading Pro Football Focus, and I think they said that he ran a single-digit pass routes in this game. I don't think that's totally on him. I think that he was left in the block a lot to help out the offensive line. But there's no question that a guy – they need to get him going. He's a guy who's athletic, who – you know, should be able to provide some, you know, yards after the catch, like, you know, Joe Murray was complaining about earlier with this team, which is a totally legitimate criticism that they're not getting a lot of that right now. And, but they're going to have to get him going. There's no question he's fighting it and he's lost confidence to this point.
Just a follow up to that one. If you saw that we referenced that three screens in a row, he wasn't on the field at all. And then they put him on the field in goal line. And he had the illegal shift on the Stevenson touchdown that got called back. So I'm wondering if they worry about him in the red zone. And my other question to that is, now Devin Asiasi still has not played this year. I mean, with the offensive line issues, like, they still won't consider going with a three tight end package? Like, he did it in college. I don't understand why they won't even consider it.
Joe, it shows you exactly what the coaches think of Devin Asiasi and about, you know, where he is in his development, what he's capable of, perhaps, you know, what kind of professional he's being behind the scenes. Mm. You know, I mean, when a guy doesn't play, that tells you the coaches have no confidence in him. And this is now 2 years in a row. Yeah, he showed some promise in the preseason, but for whatever reason, the Patriots don't have that in Devin Asiasi. And, you know, to go further on the Jonnu Smith thing, I don't know if did he run an end around or he got a screen pass or something in the red zone down there towards the end of the game, and I just about held my breath on whether he was going to hang on to the ball, and I would assume the coaches are in the same boat or else they would be putting the ball in his hands a lot more.
Do you think this was maybe a closer game, Greg, or am I overthinking this, because of, you know, the institutional knowledge that is on the other side there with Houston, like guys like Romeo Crennel and Nick Caserio? Because, I mean, I think that Houston team is wretched. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that, you know, we saw Caserio up there on the headset for the Texans. I do think that Caserio knows this team very well. He's very smart. You know, he and Josh McDaniels worked very closely when when he was here. Romeo Crennel, you know, for the most part, you know, understands. Look, the Patriots defense hasn't changed a whole lot in, you know, 20 years. The offense has. The offensive volume has completely changed from when Charlie Weiss was here to what Josh McDaniels, mostly Bill O'Brien a little bit, has put into it. And so there's a lot of familiarity. But I think Caserio probably spent all week and a lot of the offseason too, like, you know, schooling them up, and they know the weaknesses in some of the players that Nick was around and things like that. And that institutional knowledge definitely helps. I mean, we've seen how many former Patriots people have we seen, you know, either knock off the Patriots or play them really well. I mean, look at the Lions a couple of years ago with Matt Patricia. They were wretched, right? And they beat the bag out of the Patriots up in Detroit.
Looking at this today, and it, like, do you think the rest of the schedule, even games like the Jets, there's not a single game you could take for granted with the way that this team is playing? Like, in terms of like, oh, no, that's a win.
No way. Yeah, no, I don't. They're not in that position yet. I mean, do I think they're going to get there at some point? Yes, but it's still going to take some time. I mean, I, you know, you're hoping that about the midway point of the season, and I know I've mentioned it before, but, you know, the Tampa Bay Bucs last year were 7-5 and sort of, you know, floundering, and nobody was sure what to make of them. And then suddenly they caught fire and won their last 8 games and won the Super Bowl. Now, do I think that's going to happen with this team? No. But, you know, they need to find a way to survive. You know, the Cowboys, they got to beat the Jets. They got to, you know, then they have the Chargers, Panthers, Browns. Those are all, you know, upswing sort of younger teams that are going to give them a real run if they're not on the ball. And those are definitely not definite W games. So there's a lot of games and a lot of tough ones left. And this team, you're hoping, ideally you're hoping, yeah, somewhere at least around week 8 or 9 that this team starts to hit their stride a little bit, because they're going to need to.
Well, I've watched Dallas all year long. I think Dak Prescott, forget about quarterback, I think he's one of the best football players in the game right now. But the way the Patriots continue to struggle against the run, Zeke Elliott already has 83 yards today. Tony Pollard's also running the football. Like, that has to be the number one key, right, for stopping the running game next week?
Yeah, and finding a way to, you know, just keep Dak in the pocket, even though he's proficient from there too. I mean, this, if you're the Patriots defense, this game scares the hell out of you. I think they dodged a bit of a bullet against, you know, the Buccaneers with some of the players that they were missing, you know, like Rob Gronkowski and you know, in the backfield. And I think that, you know, the Bucs weren't quite fully operational against them, and Brady was off and it was raining. You know, this Cowboys team, they got a loaded backfield with Zeke and Pollard back there. There's a lot of speed at the receiver position. They can spread you out and dice you, which they've done a lot to do a lot of teams. And if you're the Patriots, you're worried about your lack of speed getting exposed, really on both sides of the ball. You know, with Micah Parsons, you know, and his ability and how that defense is playing for Dan Quinn. There are a lot of worries going into that game, Joe, and you're just hoping to get it to the fourth quarter and stay close and hope you make a few plays.
A few more weeks until the trade deadline. If they were to lose next week to Dallas, you know, you mentioned earlier, maybe, you know, they could, if you were running this team, you'd be looking to maybe add. But do you think there's any chance that they could be sellers?
I don't. I think there's too much on the line for Belichick after what they did this offseason. I think you got to play it out. And if it doesn't work, I mean, you're hoping that chaos happens in the AFC and you have a chance at a wild card. But at least if you can get to the point, you know, where maybe they're say, I don't know, 3-5 or something like that, that, you know, you go on a run to end the season, and if it's not quite good enough to make the playoffs, you know, you feel good about where you're going in the next season. I think Belichick would be open to that, and I think he wants to avoid a losing season at all costs, and that would be a bad look, back-to-back losing seasons. So I think he's going to play this out.
Greg, any thoughts on tonight's Bills-Chiefs game, a rematch of the AFC Championship game? We'll get a good look at the Bills tonight, too.
Yeah, I have not seen much of either of those teams. I do know from talking to people around the league that they are flabbergasted at how bad the Chiefs defense is. And, you know, it used to be, they're basically like almost like a aging heavyweight boxer, even though, I mean, I would need to look at their personnel. I don't understand why it's fallen into this. Maybe, you know, a little bit of, you know, resting on your laurels and what they've been able to do, but they're just like an aging heavyweight boxer where they're looking for, you know, one sort of knockout punch each series on defense. And they're hoping to get a turnover or a negative play. And that's sort of how they play defense. And they don't really play it down to down. I mean, you know, the Bills could, you know, run it up and down the field on these Chiefs. And you know, Patrick Mahomes, one thing to watch tonight, I don't know how healthy he is. Coming back from the toe thing, you know, I don't think he's at 100%, and I think that's why you've seen him make some of the mistakes he has.
And just quickly before we let you go so you can go watch the Red Sox game, because I know you want to do that, and you've had an eye on it the whole time, and I appreciate the professionalism, Greg. But just for someone who has covered the league for a long time and just looking at it quickly through 5 weeks, do you think it's been over-officious throughout the NFL, at least this particular season so far?
Maybe. I mean, you could make the case for that. You know, I don't watch it. Ton of other games around the league, especially this time of year when the Red Sox are in the postseason, and I love my baseball, so if I have a default, I like to go watch a baseball game instead of a Thursday night football game. But you can make that case, but normally these things all sort of even out and they settle down at some point. I mean, I even think, you know, that everybody's making a big deal out of the taunting penalties. I haven't seen them a ton in recent weeks. I know there was a big one last week, the Raiders game, I think. I saw Gruden complaining about that. So these things sort of settle down at some point, so I'm not going to get too overcharged about it.
All right, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, bostonsportsjournal.com, and we will see you Tuesday for Big Boy Tuesday on Felger in Mass at 2 p.m.
Sounds good. Thanks,
fellas.
All right,
appreciate it. So the Patriots, again, 25-22 winners over the Houston Texans today on the road. I'll be back after this, taking more of your calls, and take a spin around the league. We'll get some of the other early games.
Trayvon Diggs had another interception, just to throw that out there again for the Cowboys. So.
How many through 5 weeks? Is it like six?
I don't know, but that guy scares me.
He is a ball magnet. And so look out for him next week when the Dallas Cowboys come to Gillette Stadium. Joe's going to get you caught up with the latest in the headlines, and then back after this here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show.